This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Homelessness is a hard thing for people of all ages, but particularly so for children. Western Wisconsin's Cooley Cap has been looking into the issue and its impact on the kids, families, our schools, and community in general. Newsmakers producer John Davis picks up the story from there.
Grace Jones, as executive director of Cooley Cap, your organization put out a report at the end of March, taking a regional look at the issue of child homelessness. Before we get into the findings of that report, could you give me a little background on why Cooley Cap does this?
Well, Cooley Cap, as part of its original mission, is to serve as a voice of the poor. And so we take very seriously the role of educating the community on poverty issues, issues that are affecting people who are most vulnerable in our society. And so on a couple times a year, we put out a paper called Community Concerns. Each paper has a different focus on a poverty or family issue. And this most recent one was about child homelessness. It's an issue that concerns us greatly.
Grace, where does the information on child homelessness come from?
In our report, we use a lot of different sources, organizations and the census data, but organizations that specialize in collecting data on homelessness, on child homelessness. So we're pulling information from a variety of reports and sources.
You looked at roughly 20 schools in your service area, correct? Refresh people's memory on what your service area is.
Well, Cooley Cap serves people in La Crosse, Monroe, Vernon, and Crawford. And one of the things we look at both school free and reduced lunch program numbers. For this particular report, we looked at school districts in the area and looked at a three-year average of the number of homeless youth that are in local school systems. And I can say that really every school district is dealing with homeless youth in our area. Unfortunately for La Crosse, the three-year average is 161 youth per year. But Toma and the Toma area also has a pretty high number at averaging 127 youth. Sparta, 68. Holman, 19. So every school system every school district is struggling to help these homeless youth as well.
That is one thing that struck me, is that every school district in the report had at least one homeless child at some point in that three-year period that you looked at.
Right, and including the rural counties as well. And the rural school districts had maybe two or four or seven on average, but still, if you think that even one homeless child is too many, then these numbers are pretty startling. And I think a lot of people don't realize that there are actually that many homeless youth in our area because we live in such a wonderful area.
Regina Siegel is Director of People Services and Learning Supports for the La Crosse School District. How do you interact with the homeless student population in La Crosse?
As homeless liaison for the school district, we receive calls from secretaries and from the principals, counselors, social workers, sometimes teachers, when they have a concern and have a student or family in need. We work primarily with transportation. That's probably the biggest service that we offer our families. Children who are not able to get to school or live in a different part of the school district or even a different part of the region, by law, by the McKinney-Vento Act, are entitled to free transportation. We work a lot in the area of transportation, but we also help ensure that the children have the supplies they need for school and to be successful students during the school day. We help out schools. Sometimes they might need some additional curricular materials because the child is behind with their schooling or their education. So we try to help in whatever manner we can for all of our children.
Regina, how long has the La Crosse School District had programming to help the homeless?
For over a decade, and I would venture to say that if we asked the individual in my position, you know, about that, even decades and decades ago, they would say that they were serving homeless students, because we've always had homelessness, maybe not a law that protects the children and families as it does now, but For example, one of our greatest categories of homelessness in the school district of La Crosse is families who are doubled up because they were evicted or through economic hardship. Well, I know growing up as a child, we had many neighbors who they were living with grandparents or living with relatives or living with friends because they couldn't have a way to live and have a shelter otherwise, and that would be considered homelessness.
What does the programming for homeless students involve in the La Crosse School District, Regina?
So for any children and youth who lack a fixed, regular, and adequate nighttime residence, if we learn about those students, we qualify them as homeless, and then we provide services such as the ones that I mentioned in terms of transportation. We do a lot with area bus companies and transportation companies and cabs. We also make sure that we're working with the counselor and the social worker, teacher, administrator, support staff to get those school supplies, to make sure that they have what they need. We have coats and clothing that we provide for the children. The children automatically qualify for free breakfast and lunch through the federal lunch program, so they don't have to worry about meals. Often we hear that those are the only meals that they have, and so then they leave for the weekend and they can't wait to eat breakfast on Monday because they haven't had anything since Friday lunch, the previous week. And so those would be the biggest things: transportation, meals, school supplies, and support finding community resources.
I assume the idea with this program is to make it as normal as possible for these students and protect their privacy and not give them some sort of stigma, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's where the clothing really helps. And actually, the Franciscan Sisters and Mike Schnitzius are working with us. They have a program that's called Hygiene for the Homeless. And they provide bags of full-size hygiene supplies for the children specifically. So, and they're beautiful things donated and purchased for the children in full sizes, because often homeless children and families are given, the little tiny sample size of toothpaste. Well, that might last them the first 3 days that they do not have a home, but not for the whole time. So that has been huge, making sure the children are able to shower, take care of themselves, and have clothing, that has been laundered and that is current with the styles of today. So that has been a huge resource and a way that we help destigmatize homelessness.
Most people know that school budgets are strained, and is there a budget for the program that the La Crosse School District offers? And where does the money come from for that?
So our homeless transportation that is mandatory, that comes right off the top of district funding. We were successful in receiving a grant. We wrote for a grant to the Department of Public Instruction, and our district was selected to be a recipient of almost $50,000, and a big chunk of that is going towards transportation to ensure the safe transport of children all around the area. We also get many, many donations. In addition to the Franciscan Sisters, whom I mentioned before, the La Crosse Community Foundation has really been supportive, even to the point of providing a generous donation of a van to the Boys and Girls Club, and they are helping us transport homeless children. That was an amazing donation from the Community Foundation. The La Crosse Public Education Foundation helps us with our Random Acts of Kindness funds. And one thing I would like to mention is the need for supports in the area of mental health. We see with all of our students, an increasing need to serve in those areas. And many of our homeless students have had traumatic events that have truly affected their ability to learn because they're, thinking about these terrible living situations they're in. Just a couple weeks ago, we had a child who talked about, animals running all over him when he was sleeping at night, and he wasn't able to get any sleep. And so the teacher would provide a place in her classroom for him to have a morning nap. And this isn't a kindergarten student. This is a young man in a school. And, you know, when he started talking, he talked about, you know, cockroaches, large cockroaches and different rodents, and working with the La Crosse County, we were able to go there and look and address that need. And it truly was a living condition that I don't think some folks, some of our listeners would even believe happen.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the issue of child homelessness and how schools deal with it. Our guests are Grace Jones, the executive director of CULICAP, which recently issued a regional report on child homelessness, and Regina Siegel, the director of pupil services and learning supports for the La Crosse School District. I want to pick up again on that issue of funding and maybe bring Grace in here as well eventually. But for Regina, there is no specific fund at the federal government that will help with something like this. You are literally relying on volunteers and what little grant money is out there.
Mm-hmm. And after the issue of transportation, which we're required by law to address, there are not funds for that. And that's why we're so blessed to have places like the La Crosse Public Education Foundation, the La Crosse Community Foundation, our Franciscan Sisters and Volunteers, CULICAP, agencies that are committed to assisting and helping children in need, and often the whole family. We have area churches that find housing for folks, and of course our shelters. So no, there are not specific funds set aside for them.
Grace, I know this issue of homelessness is important for CULICAP to address. There really is no help for the homeless population in the government budgets?
Oh, no. We receive quite a bit of funding every year through a continuum of care effort in the supportive housing program. So we have at least four different programs that are a combination of federal funding, state funding, local donations, foundation funding from the Frankie Foundation, La Crosse Community Foundation, Bremer Bank, and so on. So this totals over $1 million a year, and we're able to help over 100 families in what I think is really wonderful programming. So you start with a family that's homeless, in trauma, the parents might be depressed, mom might be depressed, they're really in a really tough spot. And the funding allows us 2 years to help them get back on their feet. We provide subsidized rental apartments to them. They have to pay a portion of their income in rent as well. And then they have a case manager that works with them to help them really figure out their life. What went wrong? What do they need to do differently? Do they need to go back to school, get a job? And it stabilizes the family, and really within a 2-year time period, they're back on their feet, they're moving out of that apartment or renting it on their own and have moved out of homelessness. So this is just a tremendous program that I absolutely love. We're helping about 100 families a year, like I said now, and that is, like I said, a combination of funding sources. Within those 100 families, we can have many children that are being served, and I think in our last count, there were 58 children who were in transitional housing programs across the four counties. A lot of these services are provided in La Crosse, and so I hate to think if the federal funding ever dried up, what would happen to, you know, over 100 families every year? How would they be served? Salvation Army is full up.
Homeless populations, I know, tend to be transient populations, so is the student who is starting in La Crosse, Regina, likely to finish the school year?
That's a great question. I should have mentioned that. Thank you for pointing that out. Another right that homeless students have under the law is that while they are homeless, they are able to stay within reason in the school of origin, it's called. So whatever school they began the school year with, that is what they can finish the school year with if they still live in the general area. Because of that, we're transporting kids from Onalaska. We have a family as far as Soldiers Grove that has two children who are actually taking the SMART bus and coming here to the La Crosse area. So yes, that is one of our primary goals, because we know that children who move every time they have a transition, I saw this statistic one time, every time they have a transition in a school, even if it's for a good and purposeful reason, like a change in career, a promotion for parents, they lose as much as 4 months of education. So if you can imagine children who maybe are in 7 or 8 different living situations in a year, and perhaps in a car and at Salvation Army, you know, in between those homes, we would have children at so many different locations. So that is a goal of ours.
Do you have different populations every school year, or are there some students who, you know, advance through several grade levels and are considered homeless?
That's a great question. When we used to have a look at our data years and years ago, we saw a lot of generational poverty and homelessness where it was the same families over and over who were homeless. And we still see a great deal of that, and that would probably be the majority of the population we serve. However, we are seeing more situational poverty lately and situational homelessness where perhaps there's a loss of a job and this is a family who has never, you know, missed a payment of a bill and has never had a problem securing a home, and all of a sudden they lose their living, you know, situation, and they're in a motel with, you know, 4 children sometimes and trying to make it work. And so then we have a number of families who are new to homelessness as well.
According to the Institute for Children in Poverty, homeless children are 9 times more likely to repeat a grade, 4 times more likely to drop out of school, 3 times more likely to be placed in special education with their peers. And then with young children especially, it can lead to changes in brain architecture, interfering with learning and emotional development, and can have such a long-term impact on those, in really youth who are in a state of trauma due to homelessness.
Grace, according to the report, the chances that somebody is going to be a homeless child in Wisconsin are pretty good in this country. I mean, it's like 8th, I want to say, if I recall, and maybe you can clarify that, but there are some interesting statistics about the issue of child homelessness and where Wisconsin ranks
right
in relation to other states in the nation.
Yeah, there's a report, America's Youngest Outcasts. And when you look at child homelessness in the country and kind of rank all the states on a scale of 1 to 50, 1 being best, 50 worst, the extent of child homelessness in Wisconsin, we rank 23, so kind of in the middle. The risk of child well-being, Wisconsin ranks 10th, so that's pretty good. We're near the top. Risk of child homelessness, as you said, John, we rank 8th. But then in terms of state policy and planning efforts, Wisconsin ranks 37. So what we could do in our state is a better job at really looking at this child homelessness issue and having some real policy work done at the state level and some changes made. That would be really quite helpful. And that kind of relates to nationally, there is only 1 bed available for every 125 youth who is homeless. And so there's a tremendous need for what you could call youth shelter beds, you know, safe, sanitary beds that youth can sleep in when they're homeless or runaways.
Is that discussion happening at either the state level or the federal level?
It's happening at the federal level. There's a national campaign for youth shelter, and it's fighting for a federal commitment to provide immediate access to shelter beds for youth that are homeless and under the age of 24. They're calling for 22,000 shelter beds to be established immediately. But in our state, I know there have been various efforts over the years, but I'm not aware of anything going on right now.
I do know there are some community folks who are very interested in looking at this issue of child homelessness. And when we talk about the data and how many homeless youth we have, I am always skeptical, because if you could see our data for the School District of La Crosse, over half of our homeless students are at the elementary level. And what we think happens is that families in need with little ones, or when classroom teachers see, you know, the kindergartner will come to them and say, I haven't eaten since lunch yesterday, or, you know, the situation I referred to, there were bugs all over me. Maybe I was in the campground, and we've had families, it's January, and they're camping in a campground without water or electricity. And, you know, we find out about this inadequate housing. When kids get to the middle school and high school level, I don't think they're telling us as much. And I know for a fact, I know personally, we have children who are couch surfing, who get either kicked out of homes, or they're runaways, or their parents have left. I think we'd be surprised at how many times that happens. Parents get up and leave, go to a different state, and leave their child back at home, hopefully with a neighbor or family member, but not always. And so I think we have a large percentage of unreported youth who are not homeless, not reported as homeless, and that is something that we're working on as well.
Regina, is there some evidence that by paying attention to these students, you've been able to make a difference in their lives?
We definitely have some great stories, and I'm sure as in all school districts in our area, we have teachers and staff and counselors and social workers and administrators who are truly committed to making a difference. One family that I think of is a family that was struggling with alcoholism and a number of other tough issues, some mental health needs in that family amongst the adults. And there was a gentleman who works in one of our nonprofits in the area, and he and his wife heard about this family. And the middle schooler and the high schooler had been couch surfing or had been in very unsafe places. And he and his wife took in these two children, April or May, even before that, and had these children living with them, not asking for any additional resources or support, afraid to go to the school to tell the school that they were living in a different area because they were afraid the children would be kicked out of the school and have to go to their resident district. So, you know, the community embracing these children, the counselor, the teacher, the administrator at the school when they found out, the school administrative assistant, you know, getting resources together. One of the children played basketball and didn't have money for the basketball shoes that the rest of the team was wearing. And so another gentleman from a different nonprofit came and purchased shoes for the child, you know, and not the cheap shoes that could have been the $30 shoes, which I can't believe I'm saying that's cheap, but the $100 shoes that the other children on the team had. So we are making a difference. During that time, these children now are living back with the family. So the mom was able to get some help and support. There is a stable living situation, maybe not what you or I would consider a stable living situation, but it's the best that this family's had in quite some time.
So Grace, the stock market's doing well. Unemployment is down in Wisconsin. Do you expect these numbers to get better?
Our experience is that low-income people are really the most vulnerable. So when a recession hits, they're the first one hit, and they're also the last ones to come out of it. And so we still see a tremendous increase in the number of families coming to our office, experiencing homelessness and needing help. And we have 100 apartments. So we're turning away about 10 times more families than we used to have to turn away still. And I recently confirmed that with my staff. It's our hope the economy will improve. We try and help families as quickly as possible get back on their feet and move out so we free up another slot. But we haven't seen a tremendous amount of improvement in the economy for the homeless population or the low-income working folks in our community.
And Regina, you mentioned you're skeptical about the numbers we do have, mm-hmm. and that they may be worse than we're able to document. Mm-hmm. Do you see the problem with homeless children improving at all in the La Crosse School District?
This past school year, in the 2013-14 school year, we went up by about 10 to 12 students. So our numbers went up from 163 to 174 reported homeless students. I see the numbers continuing to go up or at least be at a stable number until truly as a nation, but in our community, we're able to address some of the issues that Grace has been referring to and the area of mental health for children and adults in our community. I don't anticipate those numbers going down anytime soon.
Is there anything else either of you'd like to add?
I think on the older youth issues, so this is maybe when they've moved on from the school system, there are a couple stereotypes that I think exist. First, 51% of all homeless people are white, and there's a tendency to think that we're talking about people of color or low. It affects all people, although disparately affects people of color. So, for example, 51% of the population that are homeless are white, but it's 88% of the population in Wisconsin. So people of color are really disparately impacted. And then also another issue that is of great concern to me is that it's estimated that 20 to 40% of the youth who become homeless are LGBT youth who have literally been thrown out of their homes and they've lost housing due to their sexual orientation. And I think this is just another real tragedy. Also, many homeless youth have been physically abused or emotionally abused, and so I would just like to dispel any concept of, you know, these are just bad kids that are running away and becoming homeless. They've had, you know, the school of hard knocks in their youth, and I think if we can assist them to make it through to adulthood in good shape, it's money well invested by our society.
Regina, we all know about the cycles of poverty and physical abuse and that type of thing and the efforts to break those. If a student comes into the La Crosse School District as a homeless student, is it the goal to work to break that cycle? Or are you just literally trying to get them a high school education?
We are definitely trying to make a difference in these children long term and their families. So for homeless children, it's not just looking at having a place to eat or a way to get that food to a child that evening from one of our many food pantries in our school districts, schools, but it's helping work with the family to put them in touch with organizations like Coolie Cap, to bring them to people who we know help out the homeless, to give them job skills, to help them and their parents learn the tools that they may not have ever had the ability to see in action or to obtain so that they can turn around their lives.
Regina Siegel is the Director of Pupil Services and Learning Sports for the La Crosse School District. Grace Jones is Executive Director of Coolie Cap, which recently issued a regional report on child homelessness. We've been talking about the issue of child homelessness and how schools deal with it.
John Davis is Senior Editor and Producer for Newsmakers. When we continue, ways of improving the management of our personal finances, a preview of Money Smart Week here in the La Crosse area. Archives of today's newsmakers can be found online at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find archives of other recent editions of the program, links to program-related websites, and information on how you can give us your feedback. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Stay tuned. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. Most people know having a job is the easiest way to make money to live life, but budgeting and managing that paycheck are not always a given. Money Smart Weeks are going on throughout the country in April to educate people and draw attention to the importance of personal finances. Money Smart Week gets underway this weekend in and around La Crosse, so we invited local Money Smart Week committee members into our studios to talk about the week's events. Jackie Urban is a member education officer with Ultra Credit Union, and Amanda Gasper is the financial literacy program coordinator for the It Makes Sense Money Management Center at UW La Crosse. They spoke with La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Strube.
We really just take any idea that comes to the table. And if there's people that are passionate and that want to share, you know, their knowledge and their information about finances, then we consider everyone, really. with our program, it makes sense. We have the, or hosting, I should say, the keynote speaker for Money Smart Week, which is Pete the Planner. His name is Peter Dunn. And so he's a comedian and a financial guru. And so when you mix those two things up together, it's very informational and very funny. And so our goal, I think, as a committee is just to make things interesting and educated, you know, educating, and then also free, you know, as well, so that anyone in the population and the public can attend and not have to worry about, you know, paying any kind of admission fee or anything. So,
yeah, I think one of the things that we as a committee talked about for ourselves, for that matter, is that we love to be entertained, and we learn so much just from being entertained. And so some of the things that are on our agenda this Money Smart Week is geared toward entertaining as mm-hmm. well as learning financial literacy. You know, sometimes giving a little bit of a laugh or a giggle or a song. However, we remember those things better rather than just, you know, hearing someone talk about policy or what could be done, those kinds of things. So that was the approach we had tried.
The first Money Smart Week event in La Crosse is going to be on smart salary negotiation for women. What will attendees that learn when they attend that session?
Actually, that's going to be quite new for me as well, and I am attending. But really, I think it is just bringing awareness and even just teaching some of the some skills for young women just to be more confident in how they, you know, approach and negotiate in general, or even just learning to negotiate if that isn't something they even considered. So,
and I know you have a session on identity theft. That, of course, identity theft's in the news, it seems like, almost every day. What helpful tips will be presented at the Your Identity, Your Life, and How to Defend It session?
That one, I'm not real familiar with the curriculum there, but I have done some education in the identity theft realm, and I think it really just being aware of how we open ourselves up innocently. So that will be some of the things that will be covered, I believe, you know, with the media, multimedia that's used, the Facebooks of the world, things like that. So,
and that's one that's becoming more prevalent in the news as we look at it, is what happens with people that share things through social media. We used to always talk about dumpster divers and, you know, people maybe taking your credit card, but it's a whole different world out there now.
Yeah, and dumpster diving still does happen. So we try to educate students that are living in residence halls or close proximity to the roommates to be very careful about making sure their information is hidden away. But overall, America is just very susceptible to identity theft. We are the largest victims out there because of just the security that we have. We're on the old strip on our credit cards, so we haven't migrated to the, you know, the more secure, I don't know, coding on our information, where Europe is ahead of us in that. And so those are kind of the people that are attacking us in some way in the cyber world. So we're a little behind the times in that sense, so it's really good to know and learn how you can protect yourself with what we have anyway.
And I know we're not going to be able to cover all of the sessions that are being offered during Money Smart Week, but those two, the salary negotiations and identity theft, were key. Also, I noted you have one on teens and money. Is that for the teens themselves, for the parents of teens, or soon-to-be teens kind of thing?
That one's really fun to do. It's actually targeted right for the teens. So from 13 to 17 is our audience, and we do basic budgeting. One of the things that I get to help with is they actually learn how to read a paycheck and talk about taxes and what that exactly means. And we do, it's a fun presentation that happens, and they get prizes at the end too, so it's a lot of fun. They get excited, and you get some participation that way. So it does really talk about the basic budgeting when you get that first job, and it's quite fun.
And I know that we have four institutions of higher education here in the La Crosse area. You have a session on saving for college. Is that mainly for the first-time person in college, or is it for possibly people who are returning, and what kinds of things will they learn?
I believe Western Tech is putting that one on, and it's for all stages. So if you're just starting out, even just, you know, investigating what kind of college or school you're looking to attend, or if you're right in the middle of it and you want to learn better ways to save and put your money towards tuition or paying interest as you go, I think all of it's key.
Estate planning always seems to come through every year as an area of interest. Do you see that there's continuation of need for that information, or is it just that because of the topic it's of interest?
It has always come up, I think, and again, I think it's just people are really not sure which direction to go, so they're always reaching for that information. Well, what do I do with my things? I've always heard, you know, people talking about, well, such and such, you know, is having some health issues, so they're losing their farm or their, you know, those kinds of things. So I think people are just really curious about getting the right answer. So it always seems to be a topic that's well attended.
This year, I think, is one of the first years that you're bringing in a kind of a featured speaker on poverty. You've brought, are planning to bring in Lawrence Berger, who's the Director of Research on Poverty from UW-Madison. And why was he invited to present?
I think he came to us referred by a person who actually attended his seminar in the past and just enjoyed him so much that we invited him. And he had a very well-attended seminar, she said. She learned a lot from him. So we asked him to come, and he was gracious enough to come. So he was referred very highly.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm Mary Meehan Strube, and my guests today are Jackie Urban and Amanda Gasper, and we're talking about money, personal finances, and upcoming Money Smart Week activities in La Crosse. Money Smart Week aside, is there a lot of interest by people in their personal finances in the La Crosse area?
From a student perspective, yes. I think this generation coming up, they've seen their neighbors foreclose on houses. Maybe their parents have claimed bankruptcy or had to foreclose. So they're very conscious of money and things that have affected the economy and people in their lives. And so a lot of them are very curious to know, what can I do right? And what can I do to, you know, have a positive credit score? Or what things should I stay away from? So there is a desire to learn. At least that's what we're seeing with the students.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, you know, what has happened in my own life, sometimes I'm what I call an unconscious incompetent. I don't know until I'm kind of faced with the situation, you know, whether it be crashing my car and not knowing about gap insurance, or, you know, some of the other things like having full coverage on a car that's probably worth more than what I think it's worth and crashing it with just liability on it. And so, again, just really not knowing and having these avenues to be able to reach out and ask the questions without feeling stupid, because we don't want to feel stupid not knowing, but we want to make sure we're getting the right answers to the questions as well. So I think, you know, most people are going, well, I'm going to ask somebody who might know what I need to know. And so I'm seeing people reaching out for, you know, credit score information and, you know, how to manage their checkbooks and things like that. So
what's the biggest financial area of concern of the clientele that you work with? Or what seems to be the biggest?
I would say for us, and that's part of what our center tries to do, is kind of break down just the social and cultural parts of what we experience here in America. And that's just affording a lifestyle that really isn't ours to afford. A lot of students, you know, have access to credit, and so they see things that their peers are doing, or they see things that other people have, and it's so easy for them to have them too. Just by, you know, taking out a line of credit. So I think just breaking down, you know, your needs versus your wants, and some of just, I know it sounds so simple, but it's really not when you're living day to day and you live by these mottos they have out now, like live for the moment and live for today, and today's your best day, don't worry about tomorrow. So we're so concerned about instant gratification in the moment, no one's really thinking about the future and what their present self is doing to their future self. So we just try to break down some of those barriers and open students' eyes in that way.
I think it's imperative that we try to get to the younger generation, the teens and the college students that are just on the precipice of their financial career. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times folks that are in the credit counseling world or in the budget counseling world are trying to help the people who have maybe made some mistakes or thought they made some mistakes, but they were making the decisions that they thought were right. I hear folks will say to me a lot of times, I just want to be able to breathe again. I'm so stressed out. I have so much debt, or I have, you know, too big a house, or those kinds of things. And so we're trying to do some collateral damage and try to make it as painless as possible of getting back on track.
What ways beyond Money Smart Week can someone get advice if they're a novice about personal finances here in the La Crosse area? Are there other resources that are available to them or resources that you're aware of?
If you're a student, definitely the three colleges have things to offer with their financial aid offices, or like us, the Money Management Center. Consumer counseling, credit services also take in and counsel free of charge, you know, just to map things out for people and have them take a look at what they may want to improve on or work on. Salvation Army is another one that helps do, you know, some kind of budgeting and money management.
There are lots of places that you can look. I guess I'm an information hound, so I always peruse the internet, and you want to be really careful perusing that, because sometimes the information may not come from a reputable source. So if you're an information hound like I am, you know, hit the federal sites, the Federal Reserve, the Money Smart Week website. The DFI has, which is the Department of Financial Institutions, they always have some financial literacy there. They even go so far as to have a financial wellness checklist. So then you can kind of figure out, you know, what is it that I don't know, or what do I need to know, what is that? And then it can send you on an avenue that way. So I always reach out for the very reputable ones first. But as Amanda said, there's some local ones that just would love to help you, and so mm-hmm. you don't have to go it alone.
Is there some simple advice or simple steps as you work with students and people that are looking for information about finances, that they can, the steps, things that they can do to take and improve their personal finances long term?
Well, our office, our motto is how you think is how you live. And I have that up on the wall. And I just really believe that how you go about life, what you believe, expect, and how you think is really how that plays out, and how you behave and how you handle your money. And so a lot of it is knowledge. And I think the question we ask students is, you know, what is the best way to live? And I think a lot of us know how we want to live, the things that we want to have and the things that we want to do, but is that really the best way? And so when you look at that question, I think it opens a lot of different avenues. So we really try to get to the head and the heart of the matter as well. And so I think because we're being very open and honest and really trying to portray, you know, that money is not a taboo. It's something that we need and we function and handle with in and out of our daily lives moment by moment. So we have students coming in and just dropping down their books and their bags and their jacket and saying, that's it, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing, and I have so many bills and I can't pay it. And so we get so excited when that happens, and it's happened quite a bit now. And so we're just happy that they walk in, they throw everything down, and they come and sit with us. So we want everybody to know that, you know, finances, they don't have to be secretive, and that there is help out there.
Amanda, it makes sense, Money Management Center that's on the UWL campus is fairly new. What's the main purpose of the center?
The purpose of the center is it is a student service. So we are definitely here for the students. I hire students that are finance majors, accountants, and their passion is to help their peers learn and learn how to handle finances, money. And so that's really the main point of it is peers helping peers. And it's really neat to see that connection and how well attended and, you know, just the interest level of learning from your peer, because it's so motivating. They look at, you know, one of my mentors and they're like, wow, if they can do it, if they're paying for college by themselves, or they're working and you know, and they're managing this, and you know, I can do this myself. So it's just, you know, a great way to show that it can be done and there are ways to go about it.
Is the cost of their education, the college costs, is that a main concern?
I think a little. I think it becomes more of a concern the longer they are in school. A lot of freshmen that come in, they have their parents to help them fill out the paperwork, and they assume their parents are helping with the loans and the money and helping them afford college. But when they really get out on their own and start renting and making other, you know, very grown-up choices, they can find that they're in a pinch and that they really don't have as much as they thought they did, because there's only so much that financial aid will cover. So,
and I know that your program has won the Governor's Financial Literacy Award. I believe it's twice now, right?
Yes, yeah.
And what was the basis of the award selections?
I think it was they saw what we were doing, some of the workshops and presentations, just the way we're reaching students. How we're making things fun and interesting, because finances can be very heady and boring. And so just making it a lively interaction that students can walk away and, like you said, feel good about is really empowering. So,
and I know in the past you've done some special things on campus during Money Smart Week. Like, I think you had a cash jumping house, and you had the little golf cart that helped to escort people around,
yes,
creating an awareness. Do you have other activities going on this year during Money Smart Week?
Yeah, we always have our Price is Right style game night, and so it's a big game night where you can go to different booths, play different games, and buy raffle tickets with our It Makes Sense dollars. So some great prizes. And yes, our money machine is out at the clock tower, so you can step inside for 30 seconds and grab at whatever you can get. It's very tricky, so I wouldn't say a lot of people walk out with a fistful of money, but there's coupons and all kinds of other fun things in there. And then we have a cash cart, which is really just a golf cart with our logos on it. And we give students rides to class if they'll answer a financial literacy question, and they can walk away with a pair of sunglasses or something fun as well. So, yeah.
And those have been successful.
Yeah, they have. Yep.
And students ask for them again.
Oh, yes, yes. And when they see us, they know exactly what they're going to get. They're like, yes, come here. We want to answer something because, you know, we think this is great and cool. So it's been really a blessing. We are not looked at as, oh, my gosh, does it make sense? You know, it's really been well received. And they know that we're fun, we're out there to have fun, and we're out there to educate. So,
good. Jackie, you have experience in both the nonprofit as well as the for-profit world. Working to help individuals and families manage their financial resources. Is there a difference in people's needs and how you work with them?
No, I think it's pretty across the board. We all suffer from ourselves, I guess. You know, we're trying to do the best we can, and I think it's the same.
Do you find that you have many repeat customers?
You know, I think there are some folks that suffer a little more than others. I think, you know, they, you know, will experience a setback for whatever reason, some health issues or something like that. And I might see the same person twice or see them come back later. But that actually is a good thing for me, because that tells me that I helped them in the past and that they just now come back for a little bit of advice maybe, or, you know, they knew exactly where to come to ask the question to get back on track again. So that I feel good about that, so I don't mind folks coming back to see me.
As you look at activities that are coming up during this next Money Smart Week, and as we think back a few years, we had the housing crisis, and that was the key issue. and now as we look to today, is it that people are looking for more money or trying to manage what they currently have or learning how to live within their means?
I think it's a combination of things. I'm a little bit of a crafter, so I've been seeing a lot of DIY things happening, or, you know, life hacks, how to, you know, recycle things, and that just totally excites me because I'm like, oh, I can use that again for something else, or I can refashion that into something else, or so, you know, I think more people are more conscious, not so much that they want more money, but they just want to be able to do what they need to do and maybe, again, just kind of do with what they have sometime.
Jackie Urban of Ultra Credit Union and Amanda Gasper of the UW La Crosse It Makes Sense Money Management Center. They were talking about Money Smart Week activities in and around the La Crosse area. La Crosse County UW Extension Director Mary Meehan Strube was our moderator. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Our production team includes Maureen McCollum, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to Money Smart Week La Crosse events. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share your comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. And a reminder that for updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.